Evacuees in Port Sudan say they feel a sense of shock at the sudden spiral into civil war. Many have lived and worked in Sudan for decades.
Sudan is living through a moment of real terror. I'm talking about dead bodies on the streets. We smelled the dead bodies as we were coming to Khartoum. The firing, the shelling, Sudan is seriously in a state of real war.
Among those leaving are Syrians who fled a civil war in their own country and have now been uprooted again.
That's the latest news report from Al Jazeera into the situation in Sudan and the story of the thousands of people who are leaving and fleeing the country, those lucky enough to be able to leave and free the country. And the latest reports are that fierce street fighting, including the use of heavy weaponry and artillery fire, has consumed central Khartoum as worsening violence tests what is a deteriorating ceasefire, even though a renewed ceasefire was announced yesterday. And we're hearing that hospitals are increasingly being reported as suffering strikes on their premises, and an airstrike on an area outside East Nile Hospital in North Khartoum killed at least three tea vendors as well as a child, leaving behind only a quarter's latest report from The Guardian on the situation. Well, with me in our studio in Tralee to talk about it from her perspective is Dr. Mohamed Taha, who is from Sudan, who works at the Bon Secours in Tralee. Dr. Mohamed, thanks very much for taking time to talk to me on the programme. Can you tell me your own situation and the situation of your family, I suppose, when the fighting started, when all this erupted?
Good morning, Carrie, and all the listeners. Thank you so much for actually giving me the opportunity to speak about that. It's the voice of pressure that you want to describe what's happening inside you, actually. The situation in Sudan is suddenly deteriorated, if you like me saying, without any pre-feature of the coming the drop. And that had put the people suddenly off, if you like me saying, with no country. I thankfully had my parents out of Sudan and my brothers. I only, at the time of the war, ended up having my sister, who was living with her husband, away from the capital, and four boys in Sudan with my son. I managed to evacuate them after they spent 10 to 11 days listening to, I'm not going to say the music, but the sound of the guns and the smoke and everything around them for 10 to 11 days. And you can imagine the situation. The oldest one of them is 15 years, and the youngest one of them is 9 years old.
Okay, so four sons there. They were evacuated by the Irish embassy with assistance from the UK. Was it last Friday?
Correct. The people who were taking care of that was the Irish embassy in Kenya, who has really helped a lot by facilitating their travel from, if not from Port Sudan, which is the east part of Sudan, actually from the west part of the capital, a place called by Wadi Sayyidina. It's an army landing airport area. They had been moved from there to Cyprus, and then to London, and then down to Ireland. Yes, they were moved accordingly with the UK evacuation team, yes.
Okay, so you must have been so relieved.
It was 2 days for me, no sleep continuously, until I was sure that they actually landed in Ireland, to be frankly and honest, Gary. The worst and the most stressful situation was when they had been asked to move from the house to the evacuation area in Sudan. It was a journey of 3 hours. You can't move your car in a speed more than 20 kilometers per hour. You have to keep all the windows open, and you have to stop for everyone asks you to stop. You can't imagine the situation like that.
Yeah. Was it a government-controlled area at the time?
No, it was.
Or was a rapid reaction force there?
It was the no-control area, if you like me saying.
Yeah.
You don't know where is what and who is what. And unfortunately, there was actually a non-army forces taking the chance of taking care of killing and invading people straight away without even being part of the army. So it was a very disastrous situation altogether.
Why is this happening?
Well, if I like to put the people with me on the same page, I like to go a bit back for this. The definition of country, if I'm not a good political, but the definition of country is a group of people with a lot of variable beliefs and origin. They come together to be landed under one flag, and they have an equal representation around the table of decision making. This definition never ever had been fulfilled in Sudan through the last 1,000 years. So we are a country with a large variable people, origin and places, and there is total difference between the north, south, east and west of Sudan. So that end up by making the politicals in Sudan very hot all the times. Unfortunately, the situation become to the worst when the last government who had left us after 30 years of governance with an army that had been generated outside of the capital of Sudan to control, and I'm going to say dare to work in the west part of Sudan. This army is completely not the official country army. They're a force that had been supported by the government, and they get the forces from the gold marketing from Sudan illegally. And then when the Sudan situation deteriorated 2 or 3 years ago, they came to the capital. In other way around, you're putting two armies in the capital with two different head of management. You will imagine they will be fighting each other. And that's exactly what happens. It is a war, civil war, frankly speaking, with an army, which is the Sudanese army. Again, this is what you call by the rabbit access force army. And the fight is completely had no rules. And the end result is that one of them had to govern the end of the story, which is nobody knows when.
Is it split along racial lines, religious lines, or just is it too complex to say at the moment?
At the time being, it's for the government's takeover. Nothing related to origin or something at the time being. But if you like me saying, it will after a while. So the people are expecting one of the outcome result of this war is Sudan going to be split into more than one country again. So as you know, we lost the south part of Sudan at the south of Sudan now.
Yes.
But they're expecting to lose the west part for these guys, in addition, possibly the east part of Sudan, which is mean three more countries.
So you're talking about the eventual splitting up of Sudan, the country as it was.
Yeah, that's one of the possibility to be the end of the story of this war, if they didn't come to an agreement to settle down.
Yeah.
Which is more disaster, I would believe.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't bring people together, it splits people apart. Like, it was the largest country in Africa.
Correct.
More than one quarter the size of the United States, 39 million people, the population, and then split along lines of African, Arabic descent, and all those other different religions as well. Correct. Majority Muslim, of course. Look, from that point of view, how does it make you feel? To see this happen to your own country?
It's actually the most difficult questions I keep asking myself. I don't know how can I be able to discuss that with my kids, you see, Gary. How can I convince them, actually, we are originally from Sudan now, which they only have bad memories about it. But yeah. I came to Ireland in 2013. I remember the officer asked me the questions when I put my passport to the window. Are you going to stay in this place for a long time? And my answer was, it doesn't depend on the place, it depends on the people. And 10 years later, I'm here, and I have to thank every single person that I met in my life in Ireland here, because without them, I would never be what I am now. But on the same time, you feel so sad, because most of our memories, when we were kids and growing up, is actually in Sudan. And these are the memories that everyone remember them with a tear in the eyes and a smiling heart, which is we are losing now. Yeah. And that's very sad for every one of us.
Yeah.
I'm not optimistic about the situation of Sudan, unfortunately. I feel, yes, I did the good right things by coming up to Ireland to improve myself and to develop my training. On the same time, give my kids a chance to have another place to live. But on the same time, you feel sad that you need to leave a country that you're hoping sometimes to go back to.
Yeah. Stay with me, Dr. Mohamed. We're going to talk a bit more about this. That's Dr. Mohamed Taha, working at the Bon Secours Hospital in Tralee, talking about evacuating his sons from Khartoum last Friday to get out of the trouble and out of the fighting. We'll have more with him after we take these. Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Mohamed Taha, who's from Sudan, works at the Bon Secours Hospital in Tralee. Four sons, aged 15, 12, 9, 10 and 9, making it to Ireland on last Saturday, evacuated from Khartoum on Friday. And Dr. Mohamed, can I ask you, how were they? How tired were they after their ordeal and their journey?
When they arrived to the airport on Saturday, I have to talk them for a journey from Dublin to Tralee, as we were in the car. And their response was, "Dad, we can't go back. We were so tired. I need to go to sleep." So you can imagine a child with all this excitation that he wants to, he doesn't want to go in a journey with the car. So they are still in Dublin with their uncle, but They were so tired, and they have no clothes, only a bag, a small bag on them. So we are building up themselves from the start, if like saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. And like, obviously, you'll have a difficulty explaining to them and talking to them about the future and about what's going to happen to the country and where things go from here.
Actually, I find it difficult to speak to myself about that.
Yeah, but,
Yes, I didn't see them yet, but we'll have a chat about that altogether.
What about the people left behind?
My extended family are, most of them, if not all of them, they left the capital. I believe this is a short-term solution because all the fight is actually in the capital. But making the capital the main source for the import from outside Sudan, after a while you expect the problem to start to show
food
up.
Food shortages, medicine shortages.
Yeah, no cashes, no hospital support, no blah, blah, a lot of things going to happen. The people are having some storage things now, they're using it, but I believe a certain time there'll be a problem if this situation doesn't come back to agreement.
And there's a lot of people who are trapped there.
There is. Unfortunately, there is people who actually have nowhere to go, let me say that to you. And I just hear the news about the Syrian people who are came to us from Syria after their country is gone. Now they have to leave to nowhere, which actually I feel sorry for them. It's actually more painful than us. But there is people, they can't leave their houses. They have no place to go. They don't have no cash to pay to move to Egypt, Ethiopia, Eritrea, or Saudi Arabia. They have to stay there, whatever happened. There is a lot of people, they lost a lot of their loved ones because of the fight, unfortunately. Yeah. I called my brother 2 days ago on the phone, and he was crying because he lost his close friend who get a gunshot in his leg, and he died because of the bad infections. And he was crying over the phone, his university classmate friend. And there is more and more stories. Nobody knows when this will finish.
Yeah, yeah. Is it, as you mentioned, look, in terms of the collection, or Sudan as a country as it was, had its divisions, it's now possibly going to break up. How much of it is about gold and about controlling the wealth?
All the report from everyone, there is a lot of resources in Sudan never been used, including gold, oil, uranium, and a lot of things. And unfortunately, these resources are actually kept under a very difficult geographical areas to approach because of the mountains and blah, blah. So it needs a very high company profile to look for them. Unfortunately, we didn't have a government went through that directions. There is people talking about that means that that is the main possibility of that. But on the same time, I don't believe in this. I believe it's an internal fight between people looking to get into the governance or the government chair.
And these two generals, the Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, known as
Hemeti. And Burhan,
yeah. General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, who's the de facto ruler of the Sudanese armed forces and de facto ruler at the moment of the country.
Correct, yeah. The political analysis for their actions is very vague. You would be talking about an original plan they want to submit it. Some people talking about the fight being actually initiated as a planned fight to get certain objectives. Some of them, they think, no, it's a clear fight for the governance. Another one thinking it's a fight directed by an external power. Nobody knows exactly what's happening, but at the end of the day, it's a civilic war with no people expecting that will end in a good way.
Yeah, yeah, I understand what you're saying. We have the 100-year anniversary of our own civil war this year, Dr. Mohamed, yeah. And we're still talking about the fallout from that. We were a divided country after it. It was over the fact in part that we were a divided country. If you look at the fallout from perhaps maybe what would happen now, if you judge just by that, and it was a long time ago, you would fear for the future and how long it will take and how long people will recover and will things ever get back to normal.
Correct. To comment about this as well, Gary, one of the things that I noted when I came to Ireland, the Irish people have a lot of similar beliefs to us, including these things that you mentioned already. But in my opinion, the Sudan will take at least 30 to 40 years to recover from this, if I'm so much optimistic about it.
Yeah.
I know I'm looking to the sad part of it now, but that's the situations.
Will you ever go back there? Will you ever get back there, do you think?
If you like me saying that, that's my dream. But is it going to happen? I can't see it happening now, unfortunately. But is it, I will be able to go, even the chances, even to fight a bit to create the country again, I will. But I can't see it happening, to be honest with you, Gary, now for the next few years.
Yeah, yeah. I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And it is that. Well, listen, look, thanks so much for telling us your story. And good luck to you and your sons. And thanks for working in our medical system, because we need all the doctors we can get at the moment, that's for sure.
It's actually my honour to be part of that system.
Indeed. And hopefully it works pretty well. Final question. Have you been getting a lot of questions, a lot of support from people you work with, people you know here, about what's happening?
Oh, yeah, the people are asking, supporting, no doubt. And the people actually looking for houses for me, schools for me as well, to help me settling down with my kids. They're very helpful here around, as expected.
Okay. Well, listen, that's great to hear. Dr. Hamid, thanks very much for talking to us in the program this morning. If you have a view on that situation, get in touch with us on the program. A listener gets in touch and says, well done to Radio Kerry for hosting Dr. Mohammed Taha, the Sudanese doctor. I learned more about the situation in Sudan from listening to him than I have from all the news media thus far. Well, thanks to you, to Mohammed, who was anxious to tell his family story and what's causing all this turmoil and rupture. He made contact with us. We were delighted to tell and bring his story. And just can imagine that difficulty of being away from home, working in a foreign country, training, bettering yourself, and then your own country collapses, and having that feeling that you may never get back to see where you came from. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme. Lots more to get to on Kerry Today. Loads of your comments and views to get to as well after we take these.